The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Now, people in later life can present with coronary or cardiac issues, but how can we prevent that happening? Can we detect the possibility in earlier life and do something about it then? Well, to help answer all your questions on preventative cardiology is the preventative cardiologist from Mater Private Network, Dr. Roisin Colleran. Roisin, good morning.
Good morning, Pat. Thanks for having me back.
Now, besides having pints in the Doyle bar being bad for you, we'll park that one. Are there ways in which, at a relatively young age, people can detect, I might have a problem later on?
Yeah, absolutely. I suppose, you said later life there, Pat, and really premature coronary artery disease is defined in men as less than 45 years of age and in women less than 55 years of age. So really, it's not that old. Certainly in earlier life, the key would be prevention of development of cardiovascular disease. So primary prevention, how do we do that? Detecting risk factors. And risk factors for coronary artery disease are many, but I suppose, you know, things like smoking, of course, is an obvious risk factor, being overweight, cholesterol, blood pressure, diabetes. And many of these things, Pat, obviously don't cause symptoms. So high blood pressure, you don't know about it unless somebody happens to check it while you're in the GP surgery or you're in hospital for some reason. So I guess it's important to be proactive and try and detect these.
I'm always surprised when, if you go into hospital for a procedure or if you go to your GP and they take your blood pressure, they do it once. Now, there's the white coat syndrome where people actually have elevated blood pressure because they're being tested by someone in a white coat. But also, just naturally speaking, if you do three runs at your blood pressure in a row, the last one is probably going to be lower than the first.
Yeah, that's an important point, Pat. I mean, I suppose when I see somebody in the office, if their initial blood pressure is normal, then I won't check it again. But we often see people, like you say, with very high elevated readings when they come in, check it a half hour later once they've come over to us in the office and it's much better. Yeah. If it's not, I still will often ask them to return to the GP and have a 24-hour monitor or just as good, if they have a monitor at home, it's really useful to check it outside of the white coat. Even though most of us don't wear white coats anymore, now, we still tend to have that effect on people.
Nowadays, what is high blood pressure? Because what was called high blood pressure before used to be a lot higher than is now accepted to be high blood pressure.
Yeah, so high blood pressure is defined as more than 140 over 90. So if either of these are elevated, but we prefer it, I suppose optimal blood pressure is less than 120 over 80. So we like it as low as possible, as long as it's not causing people to fall over or get dizzy.
How much does your blood pressure go up and down during the day anyway?
So really important. I mean, it needs to go up at times. So if you do a monitor on somebody, you're going to see high readings at times of the day for blood, for exercise. If you're standing up, you know, depending on position, it needs to be elevated. Otherwise, you won't need to or be able to exercise.
So it's really your kind of resting blood pressure that is tested.
Exactly. And that's why we'll test people in a sitting position.
Yeah. What are the risks attached then with high blood pressure? What is potentially going to happen?
So it's a big risk factor for cardiovascular disease and in particular for stroke, for bleeds in the brain. But it also causes end organ effects and it can cause bleeding behind the eyes. It can cause scarring in the kidneys. So you come across patients on dialysis purely because they never knew they had blood pressure and it wasn't treated for years and years. And then the last end organ effect would be thickness of the heart muscle, which can eventually cause heart failure. If you imagine you're in the gym pumping iron and your biceps gets bigger, if your heart is pumping against a higher pressure, the muscle also gets thicker.
So in terms of trying to help your situation in later life, and I know that menopause protects women up to, you know, that's why they're 10 years later than men in having these problems.
Exactly. Yeah. So normal menopause is 45 to 50 years. So women tend to manifest coronary artery disease or cardiovascular disease about 10 years later after the age of 55. Of course, if you've had an early menopause between 40 and 45, then you have a higher risk. And if it's premature below the age of 40, you have a higher risk still.
So don't smoke, number one. Keep physically active, I suppose. That's always good. Absolutely. Does it have to be running marathons?
No, not at all. I mean, sit less, move more, even if it means taking the stairs instead of the lift, taking public transport to work. You know, you have to walk as far as the bus or the Lewis and walk on the other side. going to talk to a colleague at work rather than messaging them or yeah. you know, so and even standing desks, maintaining upright posture. Yeah. Just, but obviously cardiovascular exercise is important too. And ideally we would do about 150 minutes per week of moderate intensity.
My little thing that I do when I'm printing out scripts, and I might have 10, 12 scripts to print out. Yeah. I print each separately. I print one, go to the machine, pick it
go
up,
back.
Walk back,
yeah, yeah.
then work on the next one.
Yeah, yeah.
I could do them all together.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But
in one way, inefficient,
small,
but certainly it has.
Bit,
yeah.
I mean, the alcohol yeah. as a factor.
Alcohol. So it's a risk factor for developing high blood pressure and for putting on weight. And so for men, we would recommend no more than 17 units per week, standard units. So that's a small glass of wine, a pint of beer would be 2 units, and for women, 11 units or less.
Yeah. Now everyone lies when they. go to their doctor or the insurance company, don't they?
Absolutely, yeah. But we I suppose
you live in
really,
hope. Yeah, you yeah. live in hope. Now there are many questions coming in, and this one first. I have itchy ankles and legs that have a burning sensation at night. Is it heart related?
Occasionally a burning sensation or pain in the fronts of the calves at night can be not heart related, but can be an indication of narrowings in the arteries in the legs. So if you do get pains or tightness in the backs of the calves when you exercise, that goes away when you stop. In addition to that, it would be certainly worth getting Doppler scans of both lower legs.
All right. Next one. What about postmenopausal women in terms of heart health? I'm on tamoxifen after breast cancer and my weight is going up and up. That's from Marion.
Yeah, so I suppose, unfortunately, after menopause, we you know, I guess you'll notice that the weight, even outside of the tamoxifen, is just much harder to keep off. So yeah, it's physical exercise and it's diet, so less sugar, less saturated fats in the diet and really keeping as active as you can to try and keep down that weight. HRT in the early stages, of course, for if you're on tamoxifen, if you've had previous breast cancer, it's not going to be an option, but outside of that setting, I guess, after menopause can help reduce cardiovascular risk if started early.
I've been diagnosed with a hole in my heart and got a pain in my chest occasionally when I walk. I'm a man in my early 60s. Should I have treatment for this condition? I have not been offered any. Hole in the heart.
A hole in the heart, generally, I mean, so about one fifth of us have a very small hole in the heart that doesn't cause symptoms and will be only picked up if we happen to have an echo of our hearts or an ultrasound. So I'm not quite sure if this is what you're talking about, a patent for Eamon O'Valley. We don't generally treat it unless somebody has had a stroke. But outside of that setting, if you're getting pains in your heart when you exercise and if you haven't been checked to see if it's angina, which would generally be a discomfort, a pressure, tightness or heaviness behind the breastbone or constricting sensation that comes on with exercise and is gone away within 2 to 3 minutes of rest, then that's suggestive of angina and certainly that
and
should be.
And how is angina treated or does it need to be?
So angina, it's an indication, it's a symptom of a narrowing of an artery or more coronary arteries. It's either treated with medications, depending on the location and severity, or with stenting, or if things are very complex with coronary artery bypass surgery.
You should have a proper
absolutely
examination.
Absolutely, to have it checked, yeah.
Started Prolia 2 months ago for osteoporosis, now experiencing rapid heartbeat. Is this common?
Certainly rapid heartbeat is common, probably not so much in relation to Prolia. But if you are getting a lot of palpitations that are, you know, other than the flutters that last a few seconds that aren't causing associated symptoms, I don't worry about those. They're just ectopic beats, extra beats, they're normal. But if you're getting sustained fast heartbeats that are lasting 10 minutes, a half hour or causing dizziness or associated symptoms, then certainly you should get that checked out.
Do statins cause anxiety and depression in a small cohort of patients with high cholesterol? I tried statins in the past and suddenly got severe anxiety and depression, which went away when I stopped taking them. That's according to Paula.
That's a good question, Paula. I haven't ever come across that. It's certainly not a well-documented side effect. Statins get a very bad press and people worry about, you know, pains in the muscles and joints, and that'd be the most common complaint or worry we would see. But I mean, if it came on clearly when you started, it went away when you stopped it, then I suppose I would be a bit suspicious. Usually if we have an intolerance with one statin, we would try a second statin and see do we have the same symptom with that or even a third. And there are alternatives to statins if that doesn't work.
Could you ask your guest what would cause heart rate to jump from 67 beats per minute to 97 beats per minute while sitting? And I can feel the heart race 53-year-old woman on HRT, but no other medical issues.
Sometimes an abnormal rhythm, a fast rhythm in the heart, it can just come on very suddenly and leave as suddenly as it came, but cause a kind of a sustained, sudden, fast heart rate, which can be either regular or irregular. And it might be worth getting a Holter monitor if that is happening on a frequent basis.
And a final one, POTS in teenagers, what's that?
POTS, so it's basically posture-related tachycardia syndrome, where most common in female teenagers and often improves with age, but it's where on standing the heart rate just jumps up and goes a lot faster, a normal rhythm but faster than you would expect, and can cause symptoms, dizziness or shortness of breath, exercise intolerance, of course. Often we will treat it with a tablet and with age we will usually see things calm down, but not always.
All right. Well, look, it's fascinating. Roisin, thank you very much for joining us. Dr. Roisin Colleran, interventional cardiologist with Matter Private Network. Thank you very much, Roisin.
Thanks, Pat.
And that's all we have time for today. A reminder that our items are uploaded as podcasts, which you can listen to in the Newstalk app, powered by Go Loud. Just search for The Pat Kenny Show.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on Newstalk.